Welcome everyone to another episode of HomeKit Insider. You've got me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my co-host and playing Red Robot in the live-action Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie. It's Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I thought you were going to make a Finch reference with the Tom Hanks movie. That's a Red Robot.
Sure, I guess.
I guess. Have you seen it yet? Have you seen The Finch?
Yes, I did. I watched it.
No spoilers. I haven't seen it yet. Was it, did you like it? Was it good?
I liked it. Yeah, it was good.
Okay. It supposedly broke like all the top, you know, Tom Hanks just beats himself. Supposedly Greyhound was like the most viewed.
Okay. I'm about to say, the bar here is beyond low. It didn't break any other streaming record.
I know, it's like within.
The only thing it broke was the number one movie to debut on Apple TV Plus.
I know, yeah.
Since Greyhound came out, which had very little promotion because it was like a last second move to Apple TV Plus, and no one had Apple TV Plus when Greyhound came out. So yeah, now more people have Apple TV Plus, and second like knowing a movie came out on it. And this one just seems more wide appealing. It's got dogs. It's got dogs, robots. It's got Tom Hanks.
It's a dystopian end of the world, which everybody loves. Well, I like it.
I think it's more the dog.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably the dog. Yeah. The robot looks cool, ish.
Yeah, you know, the dog didn't get enough screen time. I'll tell you that. I think that dog deserved more screen time.
Maybe he deserves an Academy Award.
Maybe.
Let's. We need to do our weekly check-in of the YouTube channel. Because I'm starting to sweat over here.
Okay. Do you got it pulled up or you mean
I got it over here. I'm going to check real quick.
All right.
Switch to HomeKit Insider. Oh, boy. We are currently at 729 subscribers. What? Everybody is doing an amazing job. Really scaring me. The what does it say? Plus 290 subscribers in the last 28 days. My goodness.
Yes.
You guys are coming out. I need you to slow down just a little bit. Wait.
Nope. Don't listen to Steven. Go ahead and be the horde you are and just keep clicking subscribe. You know what? Create 10 new Google accounts for each of you and then all hit subscribe on each of them. Oh. They're free. It doesn't cost you anything. Make 10 new Google accounts and just subscribe. Because if we get to Christmas and Steven's beard is not full of glitter, I'm going to be very disappointed in each and every one of you.
Oh my goodness. I'm excited because everybody's subscribing, so thank you all for that. I'm nervous. How long does glitter take? Let me do a quick Google search right here. How long
to leave your beard?
Does glitter take to remove from beard? Let's just see. Google has a...
Oh, it doesn't leave. It stays there for life.
For life. Is it like gum? Is it like years and years? Oh my goodness. I'm looking at pictures right now. I'll put a chapter art of a... I'm not doing some of this. Some of the stuff is nasty. Okay, removal. I'm going to do a dramatic reading of this how-to article.
Is the removal just to shave the beard? Because that's your only option.
I hope not. Step 4, removal. You've had your fun and partied the evening away, and now it's sadly time to remove the glitter from your beard. Use a gentle baby or makeup wipe to remove the majority of the excess glitter. Then use a little shampoo to completely wash the beard and get rid of any last little bits of your glitter. If your beard still has a lot of glitter in it, then try using a little bit of conditioner to loosen the glitter. If you're still struggling to remove it, then repeat the steps as many times as needed. Up to 1,000 times. Okay. I added the 1,000. Well, they make it sound like it's easy to remove.
Yeah, just go ahead and wash to remove those last couple bits. By the way, after you do that, if there's still a lot of glitter, just keep doing it
for days and days and days. Well, this is terrifying, but I'm excited. I'm excited to try this. I'll do it all. I'll do glitter and the ornaments. And, the ornaments, I'll throw those in there for free. So there you go. It's going to be a fun Christmas. Okay. We actually have some HomeKit news, listener stuff, got some follow-up on smart car things. So let's hit it. Honeywell Home's T9 smart thermostat. This thermostat's been out for a couple years now, actually, but they finally added HomeKit support. So if you're looking for HomeKit thermostats, the Honeywell T9 is now another option. It joins Ecobee, and I think there's an iDevices one. What other thermostats are out there that are HomeKit? I'm trying to think.
There's several.
There are several. I believe.
Could I name them all? No. But there are quite a few thermostat options. Do you know the difference between the T9 and I believe it's the T5 that's also out there?
Let's see. The T5, also known as the Lyric. I don't know the difference right on. Do you know? You seem like you know.
I do know. I have the lyric here. It's in a box somewhere. It was one of the very first HomeKit thermostats to come to market, and I remember testing this like in my apartment. Hmm. I believe this was like this was so many years ago, but I think they even sent over a hookup kit, like a piece of plexiglass and some wires and a power adapter, so that I could run it without having to actually remove my thermostat, because I was doing it so many times for testing all these thermostats were coming out with HomeKit. Yeah. And they were like, do you want us to send you like an out of the wall installation kit? I'm like, yes.
That's amazing.
Made it a lot easier to test with. But the biggest difference between the Lyric, the T5, and the T9 is the T9 supports the room sensors, just like the Ecobee does.
Right.
So the way that works is, like, instead of just heating where, like, your thermostat's on the wall in a hallway,
right,
and then it heats it up, you set up the temperature for 81 degrees, and it's just going to keep heating that hallway until it gets 81 degrees. But your living room, where it's got, like, more vents, could be freaking 92 degrees, and it just drifts down until it gets to the hallway, and then it's colder. Mm. So you're not heating where you are. Right. So the sensors that Ecobee and the new T9 support will heat up the rooms that you're in. It will detect the rooms that you're in and then heat those rooms to your desired temperature, not where your thermostat resides. Right. So they're much more accurate, can save you more money. They basically follow you around the house just to make sure whatever room you're in is properly heated. Yes. It's very handy. T5 does not support those. The Lyric does not support those. So the T9 does. And this thing has been out for years now, like you said, Steven. Yeah. And it's like finally delivered HomeKit support, like years behind schedule.
Right.
But we're glad it's here regardless.
Glad it's here. It's $199, comes with one sensor in the box, which is competitive with Ecobee. But we talked about a couple episodes ago, I think, about the new Siri compatibility with the Ecobee thermostat. So you can actually interact with Siri from the Ecobee thermostats with the latest update, including running shortcuts or doing Siri commands right to the thermostat, and it'll talk back to you. This does not have that, the Honeywell T9. And so as it stands still, the Ecobee is the only one that has that Siri integration that works that way. I will say, we mentioned this app a while ago, the Home Devices app. You know, I was just trying to see, you know, what other thermostats are out there. And this app is pretty sweet, because, you know, it has the full list, you know, had the iDevices in there, but also Tapmo has one. And then the Misa, M-Y-S-A, we talked about them a few episodes ago. So there's lots of options out there. I feel like last week we talked about Ecobee was bought by Generac, which sounds like a Ninja Turtles villain or some Marvel villain. I'm not sure, but
also I just got pitched like a battery pack from like a different Generac, like Generac with a K, like Generac that bought Ecobee, I think was with a C.
This is like Bizarro.
And there's another Generac with a K. I don't know.
It's Bizarro Generac.
I was like, ugh.
Oh, that's strange. But I still, for me, like if I'm going to buy a smart thermostat today, I'm still probably going to go with the Ecobee because it has that Siri integration where you can talk to it. It has the sensors, and I had the Ecobee for a long time.
AirPlay 2, use it as a speaker.
Yeah, AirPlay 2. So I would still go with it, but you just snuck in here in our note as I was talking. Ecobee news! Exclamation point.
Ecobee news!
What is this Ecobee news that you speak of?
No, it's Ecobee news!
Oh, news!
There's the exclamation. You have to read it with the exclamation.
That's right, that's right.
So I just remembered this, and I had this on my thing to add to our pile, and I just added it now because we talked about Ecobee.
Right.
But Ecobee is expanding their services again.
Oh.
So they previously had Haven, which was like their home monitoring stuff. If you had like the door sensors and everything, you'd be able to monitor your home as kind of a security system. Now they are adding to that, they're renaming it Smart Security, Ecobee Smart Security.
Oh.
And it can now include 24/7 professional monitoring. So according to my email here, starting today, this was a few days ago, Ecobee customers based in the US can enable a beta version of professional monitoring via the Ecobee app by subscribing to the complete smart security plan, $10 a month, and it already just uses your existing Ecobee hardware. Customers who have an Ecobee smart thermostat can upgrade by adding smart sensors to doors and windows to protect entryways. Mm-hmm. We all know about those. And there's also the smart camera, and it can have the monitoring to view that footage for video verification, preventing false alarms, and dispatching emergency services. So,
oh my goodness,
I like this.
This is great because then adds to Abode and other security systems, which we might get to in the listener questions. But yeah, it's another option for home monitoring, which is amazing. I didn't even know Ecobee made contact sensors. I found the link. It's in the show notes. But $80 for a 2-pack of sensors, it's a little steep, but they look pretty cool.
But these are fancy. These are fancy sensors.
Fancy. Okay. they're just contact sensors, right?
No, they're not just contact sensors. I have to pull them up to make sure I get all the stuff. So they're called smart sensors.
Yes.
They do, of course, the contact sensor aspect, but I believe they also have motion and stuff too, so they can tell who's in the rooms.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh my goodness. We talked about this a number of episodes ago about occupancy. It says not only does it do whether a window or door is open or closed, it has motion and occupancy sensor alerts to in-home activity. I didn't know about this. I did not know.
Oh, 120 degree motion sensor catches activity in your home.
Oh my goodness. But now, are these HomeKit compatible contact sensors, I guess is the question.
I'm not sure. I literally have a box of these and I haven't put them on because I've had all the Abode sensors on my doors and I already had other sensors before I added the Abode sensors. So I didn't want to triple up on my door and windows. So I have a pack of these sitting around, but I had not installed them yet.
Well,
but
all right, I'm going to put in our notes to follow up next week on the Ecobee sensors, to see if they're HomeKit or not. That's pretty cool. Anyway. All right. Generac with a C. You're doing all right so far. I mean, Ecobee probably had all this in the lineup before Generac bought him, but
I don't think this materialized in 3 days.
No, it did not. But pretty cool. Ecobee, they still got it going on. All right. I want to mention this Acara thing. They've been announcing a bunch of products. Most of these, again, are not available in the U.S. yet, but there is one that I really hope comes to the States, and it is this Acara ceiling light. It's released in China right now. Hopefully it comes to the U.S., but this thing, of course, Acara, all this stuff's HomeKit compatible with an Acara hub. It's Zigbee 3.0, but this thing is like a flush, round light that goes on the ceiling. It looks to just be like a couple inches deep, but it sits just like super flush against the ceiling, very low profile, and you can change the color temperature, not color, like you don't have like blue and red, but you can change the color temperature. Like, you know, that ambient sensor stuff. And of course, HomeKit. And I don't know, I think this looks awesome, especially in maybe, you know, commercial or corporate environments, obviously in the home too. But I don't know, this thing looks pretty cool. What do you think about this thing?
This is another one that's not released in the US yet, which is a little bit of a bummer.
I know.
Right?
It can also go to 1% brightness though, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I really like that because that was one of the things that Hue made a big deal about with its new bulbs. They had like that new lower brightness option.
Right.
And I like that, especially for like bathrooms and stuff. Just at night, triggering off a motion sensor, popping these on at like 1%. It looks sleek. I mean, I could put these in places.
That looks pretty cool. So we'll see. Hopefully, Acara, if you're listening, bring it to the States. I want to try that thing. All right, another Nuki lock. Nuki, Nuki 3.0. They just announced a new lineup of smart locks. These actually have an internal Wi-Fi module. And so if you want to use these with HomeKit, you do not need a bridge, which is nice. Apparently, if you want to use it with Google or Amazon, you do need a bridge. But listen, you're listening to HomeKit Insider. I'm not listening to those other guys, Insider. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, Nuki Lock, it's another option for a smart lock along the lines of like Level Lock and August. I'm a little torn on this design. It looks interesting. It's interesting. It's in the chapter art if you're listening to the podcast, if you want to look at it. It's 149 euros, and the 3 Pro is 249. So, I don't know. It's nice that we have another option.
But here's my question. Yeah, maybe I'm just like, I got my skeptical hat on today. Actually not. This is my High Bank Distillery hat today. But what I'm nervous about is even though it has Wi-Fi built in, it does not mean it connects to HomeKit over Wi-Fi. And we saw that with the August. August would, you know, it has Wi-Fi built in, the latest generation August. But because of HomeKit requirements, it would drain that battery in like 2 seconds. So it still only communicates over Bluetooth. I believe what happens is when a device is on Wi-Fi, there's just like constant check-ins with home. And because usually Wi-Fi devices are like permanently powered, like they're installed into a wall or plugged in to power, so they can, you know, there's no problem there. But if when you're running on battery and you have Wi-Fi, HomeKit is still checking in constantly and drains that battery super fast. Mm-hmm. When a device is Bluetooth, it doesn't check in so frequently and uses lower power. So a lot of devices, they'll, if they have like Wi-Fi built in, they aren't necessarily using it for HomeKit like August. So yeah, this thing has Wi-Fi built in, but I'm not convinced it supports HomeKit over Wi-Fi. It would be really nice if HomeKit did work over Wi-Fi, because we've talked about people in our home who have like the biggest email, like maybe like a kitchen or something, and it's like kind of off the back of your house, and you have a, like a back door to get out to your backyard or something by your kitchen. Right. Your home hub isn't there. Like you got your Apple TV or something, and your living room is your home hub, and there's no Bluetooth connection to there. You can't like use that lock remotely then. You can use it when you're in your house and your home, your phone is like near enough for that Bluetooth connection. But outside of that, you can't use it. Or otherwise, you have to go to the manufacturer's app and do it over Wi-Fi, stuff like that. So there was a lot of people who were upset about the August not communicating over Wi-Fi for HomeKit.
Right.
And I don't think they've necessarily done it here.
Gotcha.
We could check with them and see if they can confirm or deny. But my suspicions are it doesn't work with HomeKit over Wi-Fi.
There's also no Apple HomeKey support announced or saying that it's coming with this. But you know, my question is,
but also that hasn't happened for anyone yet.
I was just about to say,
don't drag them on it. Like,
no.
There's not even HomeKey.
So we don't even have any locks that have supported HomeKey yet.
Nope.
Oh, that's annoying. Well, anyway,
I know.
At least it's another option. Again, we'll put a link in show notes if you want to read more about that. Then you snuck in another one. As I was talking, Andrew, Level Home. What is it? What is this? Oh, Level Lock. What are they doing over there?
This is pretty small. Don't get your, you know,
beard in a glitter.
I couldn't think of some folksy saying.
Like, yeah. Don't get your horse in a trough.
Don't get your fiddle strings in a twist.
Don't get your pig in a bacon. I don't know.
What?
I'm just making stuff up.
Okay. Anyway. Level has announced two things, not a huge stuff for end users, but just good for the company. They've acquired Duello Inc. Duello is like a multifamily home, apartment, townhome, stuff like that, kind of smart lock management type company and smart services. Level has acquired them. I like this because it could see HomeKit tech coming to places where sometimes HomeKit stuff can't go. Apartments, rentals, multi-home, multi-family dwellings. So if Level's bringing their tech to what Duello is doing, we could see a lot of expanded HomeKit use in places where people usually can't change their door locks. Sometimes people are even afraid to change the internal part of their lock with like the August or something. Like you can keep your existing key in even outer facade with August. You can do it with Level, and people still are like hesitant to do it because they don't want to get in trouble from their landlord. But
right.
With Duello stuff, we could see HomeKit stuff built in.
That'd be great.
So just interesting there. And they also announced like $100 million Series C funding, which,
whoa,
good for them. I'm glad to see them raising money. I want to see new products coming from Level. It'll be interesting to see what they keep doing in the smart home space.
Yeah, that's very cool. And, you know, actually just on the Level Lock website and their latest news page, Apple Insider is like the second article on there when you wrote about the Rocky Mountain Hardware partnership with Level Lock. It's pretty cool to see the AI logo. Boom. Right there on the Level page.
Boom.
Now, this last piece of news before we get to some car stuff, Targus, which makes a lot of backpacks. You know, Targus backpacks are a thing. I've had Targus backpacks in the past. They have announced this backpack. They're going to be showing it at CES, which hasn't happened yet. CES 2022, and it's already won an award, which you informed me that that's just what they do. They give awards before the thing. But this is a backpack that will have Find My support built in. It's built in right into the backpack. You won't need a separate AirTag or something. And I think it's the first backpack that does it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I like having the Find My stuff built into things. A backpack, though, is like a... It's not an odd choice, and I appreciate them doing it, but also, how hard really is it just to put an AirTag in a pocket on your backpack?
I have done that.
Like,
there's one in my
backpack. I'm glad that it's built in, because you don't have to worry about putting it anywhere. I understand, like, that part of it. Moment makes a AirTag cover that's like a flexible silicone one that's like an adhesive. Mm-hmm. So you can stick it to like the inner wall of a backpack and make it a little bit more seamless that way. Mm. But you don't have to get an extra AirTag. So if you like the design of the backpack and it's got AirTag functionality built in, Find My functionality built in, great. But I also don't think I'm like, oh, it's the only backpack with Find My, so it's the one that I have to use.
No.
I'm going to stick to my Peak Design bags and just stick an AirTag in a pocket.
Same. That's why I have the Peak Design. I have an AirTag in there. My question is, too, whenever I see Find My built into something, I get a little like question mark in my head because the precision finding is not always there. You know, when you have an AirTag, you get that U1 chip and you can do precision finding with your iPhone, meaning it'll say like it's 20 feet this direction and an arrow comes up on the screen. But with other things like even the new AirPods Generation 3, there's kind of a finding where it uses Bluetooth to kind of tell you like how far away it is. But it's not the same as having that ultra wideband chip like the AirTags do. And from what I'm at least reading from this press release, let me know if you see something different, but I don't see that like U1 precision finding feature with this.
Yeah, they usually don't. I mean, we didn't see with a Van Move bike. Basically allows you to put in the loss mode and take advantage of the larger find my community. I think that's the bigger part. So it's not necessarily like the precision finding for larger things like a backpack. You shouldn't necessarily need like it's not like hiding in a couch cushion.
It's not gonna fall.
Yeah,
it's not gonna fall in the sofa. Yeah.
So I get that they don't have the precision finding. It's probably also just more expensive to put in the ultra wideband integration. Similar as we're talking about the Find My stuff, another thing that I forgot, Rip Racer just announced, Juiced Bikes announced the Rip Racer, which is a new e-bike with a Find My enabled battery, I believe, in there. Another bike joining like the Van Moof line with Find My support built in.
That's cool. Have you had a situation where you've actually like used Find My or with an AirTag to see where something was since they've launched?
You mean have I used Find My for its explicit purpose?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I've done my keys several times. My favorite way is just to be able to ask Siri to like find them and do it that way. Because usually they're just like in a couch. I'm like, I just need the noise. Like, give me the noise for 2 seconds. I know they're here at the house.
Right.
I also use the left behind alerts a lot. Like I've gone somewhere and like gotten like, oh crap, I forgot my keys like in a bag or something like that. And like, that's important to know. So I do like getting the left behind alerts on them. So even if I'm not using them like to track things, or I don't use like the precision finding all that often. Like usually the noise is enough to get me there.
Well, first of all, I've used it a couple times. I put AirTags on my kids' like water bottles. Like we've got them like water bottles refill, you know, take with them. And they'll take them different places if they go to a friend's house. And there were a couple times they left them at the friend's house and I was able to see in the Find My app, oh, it's over there. We know where it is at least. So that was helpful. The left behind notifications, I have those turned on for a lot of things. I wish it knew that my stuff was in the car and wouldn't notify me there. And I understand like it can't, but that's the one place like I remove my MagSafe wallet to put my phone on the car mount with MagSafe and I get a notification every time. It's like, you left your wallet behind, and it gives me some random address from the highway that I'm driving on. It's like, well, no, it's right here. And the same thing, like I'll leave my backpack in the car and run into like a gas station real quick and I get like 2 left behind alerts because I walked away from the stuff. So, you know, minor inconvenience, but I do kind of wish there was some, you know, we're good here, or if they're like near each other, I don't know.
And you can whitelist addresses, but you can't do it to like in the car.
In the car. This is why we need Apple to make a car, and then it would just know. That would be an expensive accessory just to not get a couple notifications. Yeah. Not suggesting that.
Do you know what I have lost a whole lot of times though?
What's that?
My flipping Apple TV remote. So many times. I don't actually, at this moment right now, we have no idea where our living room Apple TV remote is.
Oh my goodness.
We've been using the app, which is fine, but I don't always want to use the app. I sometimes just want a freaking remote, and we can't find it. And some people say, how do you lose a remote? First off, everyone loses remotes. Don't come at me with, how do you lose a remote? Everyone loses remotes, okay? Also, We have like a larger living room. Like it's a pretty large living room. Plus it goes into our kitchen. Like it's one of those like open floor plan type dealios. So we'll be controlling it half the time from the kitchen. Mm. So like our remote could be, it could be anywhere like in all the couches or on the tables in the living room. Could be on the exercise equipment in the living room. It could be on the kitchen counters. Could have got knocked into a drawer, covered in a towel.
Oh my god!
It could be lots of places. It's in one of those places somewhere, but we don't know, and we can't make it ring or find it because Apple didn't include Find My support.
Okay, well, have you thought about?
And I don't want to put one of those stupid, bulky silicone things on the remote. They look hideous to me. Honestly, I'd rather just freaking double stick tape a air tag to the back of it than put one of those big ass silicone covers on the remote. And then they're going to get covered in dog hair and dust and everything under the sun.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I'm going to get one of these ridiculous silicone cases just to try it. And then we'll see what happens.
Well, it wouldn't be an episode of HomeKit Insider if you didn't buy something. So
that's exactly right. Should I get black or blue? What do you think?
I'm gonna get blue. Blue. Go with blue.
Okay, I'm going to go. Oh, it's called Gene Indigo, apparently. All right, so I'm buying it. This is my typical buying something on the show. There it all is. $17. Seems steep for a little silicone case, but then I got to get an AirTag. But anyway, I'll try it out. I'll let you know what you think. Or let you know what
I... Wow, cool. $17 and another $30. So you're spending $50 just to enable Find My on your remote.
There is another one that's like $8 on Amazon, but it looks like a military rugged case, and the AirTag is like exposed on the back. I'll put a link in the show notes, but this thing looks ridiculous. Like, I wouldn't do that one. That looks crazy. Those links will be in show notes. Listeners, let me know if you put an AirTag on your Apple TV remote. Well, we have some friends we would love to thank for this episode. The first one, you've heard us talk about them before. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is online counseling and therapy that you can do from the comfort of your own home. You can check them out at betterhelp.com/homekit. And listen, if you've never done like counseling or therapy before, you don't have to be intimidated, first of all, but also you can think of it as, even if you're not like really struggling with something, it's kind of like doing an annual checkup at the doctor or doing some chores regularly. Like just going and talking to a counselor ongoing is just a good like check-in or check-up to see how you're doing. BetterHelp has counselors that specialize in a ton of different areas like anxiety and depression, all that kind of stuff. And they actually have an online assessment that you can take. And it's really, I think, revealing. It helps kind of point you to what are some things that I might be dealing with, or I've never thought about this question before. So you can take that online assessment totally for free, check it out. And then you get paired with a counselor that you can message through the app, and you can talk to your counselor there, schedule appointments all online. You don't have to do a waiting room. You don't have to go anywhere for an appointment. You can do it right from the comfort of your own home. And Andrew, I know you and Faith tried this out. And what was your experience just trying it out?
I just love that you can do this stuff remotely. Like, you don't have to make it a thing. It doesn't have to be going in somewhere. It should be a normal thing. It shouldn't have any, you know, stigma attached to it.
Right, exactly.
I just love how easy it is to do. Plus, they make it really easy to change your advisor, your counselor, and find someone that you really connect with and like talking to. The whole thing is just meant to be comfortable and easy, and I just love that.
Absolutely. So BetterHelp is customized online therapy, and they offer video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. You don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. So there you go. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy and can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Why invest in everything else and not your mind? I think that's pretty good. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. So you go to betterhelp.com/homekit, and HomeKit Insider listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/HomeKit. That's BetterHelp, betterhelp.com/HomeKit. Our thanks to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode and our friends at Simply Safe. And we're already talking about security systems on this episode, so it just fits in with how do you make your home safer, whether it's cameras, contact sensors, alarms. Well, our friends at Simply Safe have solutions for you. And for HomeKit Insider listeners, you get early access to their Black Friday deals. Oh my goodness, Andrew. Black Friday is like 2 weeks
away. It's right here.
Ridiculous. Whew. All right, well, now you can get 50% off their award-winning home security system. And they have everything you need to make your home safe. Indoor and outdoor cameras. They have the new outdoor weatherproof camera that you can put on your home. Comprehensive sensors. And you can get monitoring around the clock. Again, we are big like home security, cameras, contact sensors. We do all of that because this is a smart home show. Simply Safe was named the best home security system of 2021 by U.S. News and World Report. All right, now. You can easily customize a system for your home online in minutes and even get free custom recommendations from Simply Safe. These are Simply Safe's biggest discounts of the year, Black Friday, and you can get a complete home security system starting at just over $100. That's pretty good. No long-term contracts or commitments, and it's a really easy way to start feeling a bit more peace of mind. You know, that no long-term contracts. Have you ever had a security company or system that, like, you were in a contract and then you had to break it and it was, like, insane?
No. Because no? Well, I'm not getting into a contract with a security company. I know my parents had, like, ADT when we were growing up, and I remember setting the alarm and running out and all that kind of stuff. But, no, I would never get into a contract with a security company.
Listen, this was before my HomeKit days, okay? And I signed a contract, and it is miserable to try and get out of it. And there's, you know, you got to pay $1 million at least to break it. So don't do that. Go with someone like Simply Safe, where there's no contracts or commitments, and you can get a whole home security system and pay like month to month if you want to cancel it, pause it, whatever you need to do. So take advantage of Simply Safe's early Black Friday deals. Get 50% off your new home security system by visiting simplysafe.com/homekit. Again, that's Simply Safe, SimpliSafe, simplysafe.com/homekit for 50% off your entire system. Our thanks to Simply Safe for sponsoring this episode. Now, we're going to talk about Kanye West's album, Donda.
Perfect.
And by Donda, I mean Nanda, the car device. So last week, I talked about Blue Driver, which is this little device connects to the OBD2 port on your car, the OBD2 port, the omni bidirectional, that's not what it stands for, but you can connect to your car and you can see your car information with an app on your phone. And then Andrew turned me on to the free, like it's a free device, which is insane. Nanda, you can get it for free. We talked about it last week. You just pay for shipping. So it was like $15 to get it shipped. But I will say right off the bat, if you're looking to get a device to make your car a little smarter, the Nanda one is it. It is definitely the better device. It is a low profile device. You know, the Blue Driver one I showed on last week's, it's like a big chunky thing. The Nanda is like super flat. Like it, you don't even see it at all when you put it in your car. So it
looks like just like a cap for the port.
It's just a cap for the port, which is really sweet. And you're not going to see a ton of the data in the app because it's not connected right now. But the app that you use with the Nanda device is really cool. Like you can see like how fast you're going as you're traveling. Like don't look at your phone while you drive, but also like maybe just drive around in a parking lot. It's pretty cool. But you get like that and fuel and all that kind of stuff. Like the app is definitely better than the Blue Driver one. And the one feature that, you know, may or may not be the best is to clear engine light. Now, don't do this if, you know, your car might be breaking down. Like, check with your mechanic first, but I have a check engine light that is for some, like, evac system, whatever. My mechanic told me it's not a big deal, so that's why I'm clearing it. But I always liked the automatic app for how, clearing the engine light because it was very clear on how to do it and it's very fast. The Blue Driver one, I had to try a few times to clear the light. It does this like full scan that takes like 5 minutes. And it was kind of a pain in the neck, I'll be honest. So the Nanda one, definitely better than the Blue Driver. It gives you the error code. Like here, you can actually see this is my error code right here. One issue detected. It gives you the, you know, actual error code number in the app. And if you're watching or if you're just listening to the podcast, flip over to the YouTube channel, the HomeKit Insider YouTube channel, and you'll see I'm showing images of the app. But it's really cool because the app then shows you, like, here's a YouTube video for a common fix of this error code, which is pretty sweet. Then they give you more information down here about the error code and all that, tells you whether or not your car is going to blow up. So that's good. Good to know. And then clearing the check engine light was faster than even what I experienced with automatic. Like you put your car in the one position where the engine's not on, but the electrical is on. I hit one button to clear the codes and it was gone like immediately. I didn't have to wait at all. Way better than the Blue Driver. I think it's even faster than automatic used to be. And so two thumbs up. Like if you're looking for a device like this to get a little more information about your car, what the check engine light means, and it has a sleek app, then I think Nanda is it. It's pretty sweet.
Did I ever tell you about the sketchy car we rented when we were in Iceland?
No, I don't believe I don't believe so.
Really fast. But we had gotten, we were renting a car, and like, of course, like it has a whole website, looks like a legit thing and everything. And we decided like not to go with Hertz. My wife's like, oh, we can save a decent amount of money by just going with this one. It says like airport and everything. Cool. We do it. Not how it worked. A man in a van showed up with a sign with like 30 brands on it. They just ran 30 competing websites, and then they were all the same people. So you would like, you thought you were like choosing a different one. They were just competing with themselves to like get all of the business that wasn't going to like Hertz. Anyway, so we get in this man's van and we go to the abandoned warehouse that looks like it's the set of a Batman movie where a villain is about to jump out. So we go there with a couple other couples and we get our car. And my wife is like, make sure you know, like, every piece of damage on this, because they're going to nickel and dime us for, like, everything. Nice. Make sure you, like, every damage. Take photos. She's like, heck, take videos. So I'm, like, going around and, like, starting to take... The guy's like, okay, yeah, we know about this dent. We know about this scratch. We know about this rust. We know this mirror is duct taped on. I'm like, oh, my God, this car seems awful. And we go through all of that. I get in. I turn it on. The check engine light is on. And I'm like, oh, sir, the check engine light is on. He's like, oh, no, that's fine. That's just the tire pressure monitoring system. I'm like, are the tires okay? And he's like, oh, yeah, no, it's fine. I checked all the tires. I'm like,
so why is it on?
Then why is the light on? And he's like, don't worry about it. I'm like, what happens if I get a flat and the light is still on?
No.
I'm not even going to know because the light is already on. Yeah, it was nerve-wracking. At this point, I would have like taken a freaking Nanda sensor with me just so I could like monitor the car, because I was like so sketched out by it. Everything was fine. Like, there was not, the car made it through the trip. Sure. We put like thousands of miles on it during this trip and there was no problems. It made it through everything. But in, like, Iceland, half the roads are just like rocks. So it nice. Just made me a little nervous that like there wasn't even the check engine light is on as we're renting a car. So don't do that if you want peace of mind.
Oh my word, that's wild. Next time, you got to remind me, I'll tell the story of when my wife and I were on our honeymoon and we took a ride with Captain Suarez. That's a good story. I'll save it for next time.
Okay.
Anyway, Nanda, I will put the links in the show notes for that. Well, we got some listener questions we should get to. But then again, you keep sneaking things in here, Andrew. What in the world? You say, but first, coffee.
I just wanted to like mention this really fast too. We're going to get angry tangent because we're going off on too many tangents today. But we're getting questions, I swear. I got some new cold brew coffee that I'm going to be trying out. It's not here yet. I think it gets here like Saturday. But I finally broke down and got, it's called Jot. If you've probably seen like their ads that are everywhere. But I've tried a lot of cold brew coffee concentrates. And some have been good. Some have not been good. But this is like one of those ones you can subscribe. They'll send the coffee to your door each month. It comes in a little glass bottle. And you add like one tablespoon to water, which is the same thing Starbucks does. It's all cold brew concentrate. Then they add water, whether it's pre-mixed at the beginning of shift or they do it at the time of order. But it just concentrates. So it's the same kind of thing you're getting at Starbucks. But I talked to a couple people who have used it and they really liked it. So I was interested, looking for some more. I've been using like the Nespresso iced coffee things. And I was like running out of pods. So I put another order for that. And then I was like, let's try this cold brew. You can also add hot water to it and just make regular coffee. I don't know how good regular coffee is, but very curious at how it's going to be.
This looks pretty sweet. I like their branding and everything. I had not heard of them before. I think this is going to be the
third. Don't buy it. I'll send it. Let me see. I might have like a referral link I'll send you and I'll get a little free bottle or something. I don't know, but I'll try.
Okay, I'll wait. That looks very cool. I also, there's a podcast called All Consuming. Have you heard of that podcast?
No.
It's with Adam Lissagore, who is from Sandwich Video. You know, he's semi-internet famous.
I love Sandwich Video.
Sandwich Video. They do some great stuff. And so Adam Lissagore, he does this podcast called All Consuming with Adam Kalina, who's like a photographer. And they do like products that they see in Instagram ads and review them on the podcast. So like if a product just comes up on Instagram, they'll just like buy it and try it out. And they've tried all kinds of things, which is awesome. But one of the coffees they've tried is Cometeer. C-O-M-E-T-E-E-R. Have you heard of this one? So this is another one where it's like they send you these concentrate like flash frozen coffee cubes and you put it in water and then it's coffee. Like, you don't brew it.
I've seen coffee, frozen coffee cubes, and I've been very skeptical.
Yeah. And again, I mean, they supposedly liked it. I'll put a link to the Cometeer website as well. Maybe listeners, I'll put these links here, but don't buy these yet. We got to try the Jot. And then we'll try the, well, maybe I'll try the Cometeer, but yeah. So coffee. Listen, coffee is a critical part of HomeKit. You know, Apple has even said this on their website, that if you're going to have a HomeKit setup, you need to make sure you have good coffee as you set up these devices. And this is just a full part of the show, okay? This is coffee. Coffee talk. That was not true about what Apple
said about coffee. Welcome to Coffee Insider.
Coffee Insider. Andrew. Don't tempt me to start another podcast. I don't need to start any more podcasts. But I, Coffee Insider, we got to buy the domain before somebody picks it up who listens to the show. Anyway, okay. We got to do some listener questions before we run out of time. So Keith Morrison, he wrote us and is asking about looking to upgrade a smart thermostat, which we talked about earlier in the show, looking for something that works well with the Eve Thermo in HomeKit, which I'll say right off the bat, I don't have experience with the Eve Thermo, but... You know, he has some confusion about the main thermostat and whether that temperature and how it talks with the Eve Thermo. I'm not sure about that integration. Again, I'll go back to my original recommendation. If you're looking to upgrade your thermostat, I still like the new Ecobees because they have those Siri integrations, AirPlay 2, and it just works really well. Anytime I've had an Ecobee, it's been super solid. So that's my thought on that. What do you think, Andrew?
The biggest thing I can say, Keith, is that there's going to be no difference by the Lyric thermostat, by the T9 thermostat, by the iDevices thermostat, by the Ecobee thermostat, by any thermostat. It's going to integrate the exact same way with HomeKit and other HomeKit devices. Like, it's not going to really act any differently in that. So the idea is whatever. So you're trying to get the Eve Thermo to turn on the main thermostat in order to fire up the boiler. So yeah, it's going to work just like that. Whenever you have your Eve Thermo kick on, you can have an automation that tells your HomeKit thermostat to turn on as well. You can set it to a certain temperature based on time of year and stuff like that. But yeah, it's going to work the same way no matter which thermostat you get. We've obviously been fans of the Ecobee ones. Pick up the basic Ecobee without the sensor. I can't even remember. Does it support the sensors? It just doesn't come with them, or does it not support them at all? I don't know. I like the one that has Siri. It's more expensive, but it's got Siri built in, AirPlay speaker built in. For sure, all of the sensor stuff. So I like the pricier one, of course.
The Ecobee Lite does support the sensors, but it does not come with them. And the Ecobee Lite is $180, where the Ecobee 4, which is the smart thermostat, the more expensive one, is $250. So we're looking at a $70 difference there, but you do get a sensor in the box, plus you get all that Siri and AirPlay integration. So I would do that one. All right. Next question from Simon Salvin on Twitter. Do you know if IKEA smart blinds are HomeKit compatible? And I am looking right now at the IKEA website for their, I'm going to try and pronounce it, Fjertur? Fjertur? F-Y-R-T-U-R? I don't know. Anyway, yes, they are IKEA blinds and they are HomeKit compatible. You do need the trade-free gateway in order to, you know, use them with HomeKit, but yes, they're HomeKit compatible. Boom. And any thoughts on that?
Nope. I'm not going to try these yet. They've been like pop. I know a lot of people like them, but I have not got to try them yet or anything. I had issues like with the bulbs were throwing me through a loop. So
gotcha. All right. Next question. This comes from Tyler Waltz, and he was actually just specifying, hey, iOS 15.1 has those humidity and temperature automations. Have we done anything with them? I'll be honest, I have not set up any automations in regards to humidity and temperature because I live in Florida.
How old is this question, though? So it is always hot. Just curious.
The question is always...
Because we've put off questions for a number of weeks.
I know.
And we talked about these, I think, when 15.1 dropped.
I think we did. I think you mentioned it, actually.
Faith and I talked about it, yeah.
You guys talked about it. So I apologize. It's been a while since we got questions, but... do you have any automations that are like humidity based?
I've used these before though, because you could do them. These aren't like entirely new. The new part is they're actually in the Home app. I believe, is like what's changed. So you can set some of these threshold stuff before, and I believe I had them going on with third-party apps.
Gotcha.
So you could, like the Eve app, and then when it was humidity got too low, kick on like the Vocalink humidifier, something like that.
Gotcha. Okay. So there you go. So sorry, I know it's been a while, Tyler. Thanks for that. Now, Only Blue sent us a tweet here. I'm not sure if he has a question.
Oh, I think this is what I wanted to mention here. The main thing, so when Faith was on the show, she talked about one of her issues was getting Siri to understand her. Siri would listen to me, but would not listen to her. And she said that was one of her biggest frustrations, is that Siri just seemed to like me more. And Only Blue was suggesting how he was able to help train Siri for, I think, his wife or him. But he was saying the biggest thing is just talking to Siri more. So start by asking Siri the same thing. Like, what's the weather today? What's the weather today? What's the date? Stuff like that, just repeatedly, so that Siri gets trained to your voice. And Only Blue also said to ask who they are. So who am I? Not like in an existential kind of way, but in a just like making, because Siri can identify different people in the household. So make sure Siri knows who you are and repeatedly asking that question each time. So they say this should solve the problem if Faith were to keep doing that. In their house, they've got like everyone in the house uses Siri, and it's like UK English, but they also have like South American, South African accents, and they're living in New Zealand. What is that as a household? That's amazing. I think it's a she, Only Blue, but that's how she was able to get Siri to like actually start responding to her. So maybe I'll tell Faith, just start chit-chatting with Siri, like, you know, what's up?
Just have a combo. Yeah,
what's going on?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, Siri. How you doing, girl? Today? Oh, yeah. Sorry. I literally just said it. Oh. Wait, all my devices. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait, they're all going. They're all starting. Oh, my bad.
Dummy.
All right. Sorry. All right, next question. This is from Vance, who's actually messaged you saying that Yale August purchased Kwikset and now controls 33% of the smart lock market. What impact will that have on smart home locks with Matter and Apple Home Keys? I think it'll be fine.
I mean, they do own a lot, and like, these were the two bigger competitors in the space, so I was a little surprised to see it. But this was like a year ago, I think. This isn't even like super new. If I remember, I think so Yale and August are, Yale bought August, I think, but it's technically ASSA ABLOY.
Right.
ASSA ABLOY is the parent company that has a bunch of brands underneath them. Yale is one of the brands. ASSA ABLOY bought August, and now ASSA ABLOY bought Kwikset as well, like a year ago. I feel like just in the lock space, things move slowly.
Yes.
I don't know if it's because of certifications, whether it's like security certifications, HomeKit certifications, but things move slowly. Kwikset and Yale/August already had several, like Yale already had HomeKit solutions. August, of course, has HomeKit solutions. Everyone had HomeKit solutions. Hopefully, they're still running them as separate brands. Hopefully, it's just going to help.
Yeah,
I believe they're already part of like the Matter consortium, so I don't think that's going to make a difference. HomeKey, I can only hope that just putting more money and brands together is going to help them come out with stuff faster. But you also have to worry about as they get larger, they have less of a need to move faster because they're reducing their competitors. So there always is the chance it's going to slow down competition and reduce that innovation, kind of like, you know, age-old theories on stuff. But we'll see. Honestly, I'm more excited about the smaller people in the space. Like, Level has been doing such cool stuff. I'm really, really, really impressed with them. I would not be surprised if Level was the first one to come out with a home key-enabled lock. But I guess it's a race to see who the first one is. And there can be a big advance being the first one. We saw...
Absolutely.
I think it was Mal... Was it Mal? I don't know. But there was a couple that were like the first... Logitech being like the first HomeKit secure video doorbell. They worked like exclusively with Apple on it and available through all of Apple retail, made a big deal. So I wouldn't be surprised like when the first home key enabled lock comes out, partnering with Apple, getting in stores and getting it out there. So we'll just have to see who the first one to do it is. But I don't think Yale, August maybe, because they were in Apple stores, but Yale branding and stuff, it just seems kind of all over the place. It does not feel like very Apple-esque. Yale or... maybe August, but like level, it has that clean, modern Apple feel to it. So I would not be surprised if it was them. Plus, they already have like NFC support with their little cat tags on the one.
All right. Well, this next one is from Chris. He was asking on Twitter, what about HomeKit freezer monitors? And so he's looking at like a temperature sensor to put in a freezer. Now, I looked at a lot of the temperature sensors that are HomeKit compatible, did not seem to work with like freezing temperatures. He found one that is non-HomeKit. It's called the Govee Wi-Fi Thermohydrometer. And I'll put a link to that on Amazon. Again, it's not HomeKit, but it's $15, works with an app, it's Bluetooth, and it works down to -4 degrees Fahrenheit. That's -20 degrees Celsius for everyone not in the States. And yeah, I do not see a HomeKit compatible freezer one. And this one is, I think, pretty inexpensive enough where it would try it out. So
I'd mainly just worry if, or not worry, but wonder if it's able to like transmit when in a freezer between like the insulation and the metal on the outside. That'd be my, you know, what I'd wonder.
Yeah, that is curious. I'm not sure. But anyway, Chris, if you try it, let us know. Let us know how it works. That's pretty cool.
My my mother-in-law's freezer just died last week, and I'm like, now I've got me paranoid that mine's going to kick it. Because she had like a huge like 18 square foot freezer and it died on her. So she's running around with banana boxes full of frozen stuff. Like, can you take this? Like going into everyone she knows, like, can you fit this in your freezer? And of course, right now, because of the pandemic stuff, like stuff is hard to come by. So she could not get the one she wanted. So she ended up having to buy like two smaller ones instead, because any larger freezer wasn't going to get here until like sometime in 2022, which it's a freezer. Like people need these things and like you can't get them. Right. So if you need a freezer, like it sucks. So yeah, I feel like a temperature monitor in a freezer is not a bad idea. I want to, and then get an alert when it drops or goes above like 30 degrees, 28 degrees, like something.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a good idea, Chris. Let us know.
You could also, all right, and we got to, well, this may not completely do it. Sorry. Well, I wonder if you could get like a power monitor for it. Like one of the ones that monitor power, like a Eve Energy or something connected into. And then if the power drops on it, then you could trigger an alert. So that way, you know, if like died, but it may not tell you if like your actual, like, the coolant part kicked it, but at least you could tell if it like stopped turning on.
Right. Right.
Okay. Next question.
Okay. Okay. Because this is our last question. We're actually going to get through all of our listener questions before.
Get through them all.
Episode. So this is Corey Nelson on Twitter. He said he went back to the beginning of HomeKit Insider and started listening to all the episodes. Corey, you're a real one. And I know many of you have done that out there. So thank you all. Very cool. And he was looking at security systems, contact sensors, and had the question of, you know, we have the Abode system. We've talked about Abode a lot. It's one of the few like all-encompassing HomeKit home security systems that you can pay for with monitoring. And they said, he's asking you, they've updated the Abode to work with other sensors in the last year outside of their direct ecosystem. Or, well, what does that mean? Does Abode as a security system work with other contact sensors?
Yeah, so Corey was basically kind of letting us know about that. And I wanted to make sure this was really clear because it is not clear and it's confusing. So Abode, the security system itself, actually has a Z-Wave and Zigbee radio inside. You can use Zigbee and Z-Wave sensors with the Abode system and use those to trigger your alarm. That is all true, right? So you can use third-party sensors to outside of Abode's ecosystem to work with the alarm. But I do not believe that you can use those sensors then in HomeKit. So we talked about what's that the overseas company we talked about that brought the first Z-Wave, Thinka Z-Wave Hub. Yeah. For HomeKit, right? So that's going to bring all those things into HomeKit. But Abode isn't doing that yet. So yes, those sensors will trigger the Abode alarm and you can use them for that, but you can't see those sensors then in HomeKit. So if I use a generic Z-Wave sensor connected to my Abode, put it on my front door, that front door opens, my Abode's gonna go off, I'm gonna get a HomeKit alert that my alarm was triggered, but I won't get an alert that that door is open or closed. And I cannot see that door open or closed status. I have to go through Abode to see that. Conversely, you cannot use HomeKit sensors to trigger your Abode security system. If I have an Eve contact sensor that works with Thread, if I've got the VocaLink one, if I've got any of the others, none of those can trigger the abode system, as far as I know. Just because of how HomeKit is set up, like you can only set up like that brand's things or ones that support that brand, like the Z-Wave ones. It's confusing, it's muddy, but that's how it stands at the moment. So yes, you can use Z-Wave Zigbee sensors to trigger your abode alarm. You cannot use HomeKit ones to trigger your abode alarm. And if you add those Z-Wave Zigbee sensors to the abode alarm, those sensors will not show in HomeKit, even though the abode does. Does that make it any more clear?
Yeah, I think you got it. I think just listen back to everything Andrew said at half speed, and I think you're going to get it crystal clear.
All good. It is confusing. No, we still, we just, I wish that HomeKit would allow any HomeKit sensors to trigger an alarm. That's like, that's the part that I'm looking for here. A lot of people already have those sensors around their house, and I don't believe there's any way for that to work at the moment.
Gotcha. Well, very good. Well, Andrew, we made it through all the listener questions. Thank you for being patient, for all those who submitted it. But now you can send them again. Send us more questions. Tell us about what home projects you got going on. Tell us on Twitter, comment on the YouTube video, wherever you want to let us know. All those links will be in show notes, and we can get to those listener questions again. You know, we're kind of past the big like fall tech announcement season, so now I think we can really deep dive into like AirTag Apple TV remote cases, which we'll talk about next week.
Oh, man.
And stuff like that. So if you haven't yet, we'd greatly appreciate a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. That helps out the show. And again, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're trying to get to 999 on Christmas Day. And then on the next day, we can cross the 1,000. So then I don't have to do glitter in my beard. But no, for real, go subscribe, create 100 Google accounts, like Andrew said, and subscribe there. That'd be great. No, don't, you don't have to really do that.
I mean, you do.
But just subscribe, watch it there. Subscribe, watch the show there. And yeah, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.